Time for another Kennedy Malloy catch-up. For garden tools with more power and less noise, use Makita's cordless power garden tools. Power over 200 tools with one battery. Buckle up, Australia. Here they come. Straight from a very long lunch. And frankly, this could go anywhere. This is Kennedy Malloy.
You bet it is, Australia. Welcome to the big Thursday. You're hearing my voice.
Where's Mickey?
Mickey is not very well at the moment. He's a bit crook in the guts. Standing in for Malloy, we welcome Limo.
I knew if I waited in the car park long enough, my chance would come.
And it paid off, and we're thrilled to have you here.
Love Limo.
Because we have got a huge Thursday show coming up, Malloy or not, and I have got an exclusive in this country about to break. Any minute, stand by.
All right, well, I am very excited about that, Jane.
We've also got some unsolved mysteries, one involving our PM himself, who may have finally addressed some poop gate incident involving... Oh, well, he might have let everything out last night, so to speak, at a special ball. What else have we got, Limo?
All will be revealed very shortly. I've got a bad parenting story for you,
which is
an absolute doozy.
Oh, yes, we've all been guilty of that. Jim Jeffries.
Oh, yes,
our
please.
Mate from LA. Yep. He's popping in. We're going to have a chat with him, which is exciting for me and you.
And if that's not enough comedy for one show, Will Anderson
joining us
live in studio.
Your old drive time mate.
It was Will and Limo in this shift about 10 years ago. Yeah.
Wow, that'll be exciting. We've got Gone Wild because we love doing that and a bit of a crime watch, everybody, plus much, much more. Limo.
Hello, Jane.
I feel like I've seen you. You've been on the show this week. But it's very convenient that you happen to be free at the last minute today.
Indeed, and I'm very happy to be here. What a pleasure to be in for
Dave,
the full 2 hours.
I'm doing really well, and it's great. It was yesterday you were on the show,
yeah.
Wasn't it?
Yeah.
Less than 24 hours ago.
Well, you might have very well have been in the car park. Yeah. A bit of a snooze.
Gave you all my good gear yesterday, but...
I'm sure you'll be back with more
We'll fight through.
I'm sure, and a shout out to Mickey. He's got to do the front bar tonight.
What's wrong with him? Do we know what's happened?
It did involve spewing, I believe. Well, something like that. But we need him to be able to be on the telly.
Yeah, that's right.
Very important. Speaking of on the telly.
What?
I am beside myself, and this is the first time I've had in my life an exclusive to break, and it's involving the words embargo.
Oh, wow.
Words like that. And it involves something very, very near and dear to my heart, which is the Brady Bunch.
Oh, you're about to say, what is it? It's the Brady Bunch.
Oh, Brady Bunch.
Yeah.
Right, Brady
Bunch. Show's been out for years, Jane.
I know. In fact, 50 years, Limo. 50 years the Brady Bunch has been out. Now, you may recall this time last year, the Brady Bunch house, the exterior that we used to see at the beginning of every episode.
Yes.
Was sold for a remarkable amount of money because the Discovery Channel bought it with the intention to rebuild an exact replica of the Brady Bunch house, which was done in studio sets.
So the inside of the house was nothing like
it. It never existed.
Right.
Greg's, you know, gone groovy. You know that?
Right.
And the kitchen where Alice and Carol would come home with only two bags of groceries for an entire family.
Yeah, all those kids.
Which used to kill me all that.
Yeah.
Well, they have managed to get the 6 Brady kids in a reunion, and they are rebuilding this house in an amazing special that is currently on air in the US. 8 million people tuned in to the first episode.
Gee, it's got some pull still, hasn't it? After 50 years.
Jane's all over it.
I'm all over it. I'll tell you who else is all over it.
Yeah.
A very important man in the television business who runs TV Tonight, David Knox. David, you there?
I am, Jane. Very excited.
Very excited. We share a great love of this show, don't we?
Well, look, it's a bit sad, but... fabulous at the same time, yes.
And David, we would like to both share the news that a very Brady renovation is in fact coming to Australia.
Wow. Is it? It's happening.
It sure is. It's going to be screening. Well, Jane, I'll let you give out the air date.
Really? All right. The air date is Monday the 7th of October at 8:30 on the TLC network.
TLC.
Which is on Foxtel channel, and they are a subsidiary of the Discovery Channel, and we're so excited that we'll be able to see this. What does it mean to Australia, David, and will this go off?
Well, look, I've had a lot of people, Jane, online who've been saying I want to see this show because you know, anyone who is, let's say, Gen X, maybe baby boomers, have grown up watching Brady Bunch through their syndication and their repeats for, well, it's 50 years on air next week, as it happens. I've seen a little bit of this show where they renovate the house, as you say. I think it's about half a dozen episodes. And the first half that I saw, the first episode, I just had a smile on my face from beginning to end. Just watch. And look, I've seen a lot of TV, as you know, and I'm very cynical about particularly these renovation shows. The attention to detail on this...
Sorry, David, to interrupt. So this is actually a renovation TV show where they're trying to restore the...
Yes, and what they do, in fact, they have antique hunters who are hunting down all the fridge, the oven, the knickknacks, the giraffe that's in the girl's bedroom.
What about that horse that sits
the
in the...
horse,
is that
yes.
really?
The
yes.
horse is there. The vase or the vase, of course.
Mom always said, don't play ball in the house. That vase is there.
That vase. So, and the six kids... do they just arrive at the end and go,
no,
wow,
they arrive
awesome.
At the beginning. They build it.
Oh, they build it?
Yes.
So who's playing Scotty Cam?
Oh, well, they don't even need Scotty Cam because there's so many renovating people on the show. But this is the great thrill. All the Brady kids are reunited because, of course, Alice, Carol and Mike have passed away.
Right.
But I'm pretty excited, David. So thank you for helping us so we break that news together.
Thanks, Jane. Let's control TV, you and me together now.
We'll run an empire yet, David. So there you go, everybody.
Well
There's
done.
The great news. We will be able to see it on the 7th of October. I'll tell you what, it is a good feeling show. And even if it's just to see what Cindy Brady looks like now and
really?
How off-chop she is. It's so funny. She's fantastic.
Does she still have a lisp all these years later?
No, she looks fantastic.
Okay.
She loves animals. They're all great.
Has it gone pear-shaped for any of those kids?
No, they're great.
No, they're all good.
They're all good. And it's so exciting when they all see each other.
See, I never saw the Brady. I grew up in country South Australia. We had two television channels.
Yeah.
So I totally missed the Brady. This isn't Danny Bonaducci, is it? He's the other one.
No, that's the Partridge family. Come on, people.
Way different.
There you go.
TLC Network.
Breaking exclusives on Kennedy Malloy.
Jane's dreams come true. This is Kennedy Malloy. We've got Limo with us, and we're here thanks to Makita. Your authorised dealer is at makita.com.au for their cordless power garden range.
Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy, two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Jim Jeffries is going to join us this hour, then Will Anderson next hour. We've got Limo in for Mick with Jane Kennedy, Kennedy Malloy.
Last night was at Parliament, the midwinter ball.
Midwinter ball, now, second 2 weeks into spring.
Yeah, we're in September.
Do you know what? I mean, I've seen pictures all over the social media today.
Yeah.
They frock up for this. It's a very fancy event.
Mm.
Everybody seems to go. It's a bit like, what's the US one?
The Correspondents Dinner.
Except that's the Washington Correspondents Dinner.
<Yeah. laughs>
And this is the Australian equivalent. But Scott Morrison has addressed the people.
He has indeed. Well, this rumour surfaced. Well, it surfaced in his pants about 22 years ago. But
I heard this a while ago.
Oh, did you? I heard it at the start of this year, earlier this year, that in 1997, after the Cronulla Sharks lost a game of rugby league, eat out a couple, and it was in the Engadine Maccas, and just dropped one in his duds.
Well, I'm curious to know how people find that out.
Yeah.
Why he would even tell people that it happened.
Not very prime ministerial, is it?
Not as though you'd stand in the middle of Engadine Maccas. Oh, you won't believe what I've just done, guys.
I think John Howard would have...
Who knows? But
John,
I'll tell you what.
John Howard would have been wearing adult pull-ups. Wouldn't have been a problem.
Listen to our Prime Minister. This is from last night. There's almost like a sense of jocular pride here, and I don't know whether he's had a few beers, but you judge for yourself. Here he is.
But now you want to get here my unadulterated views of RBA monetary policy, the South China Sea, or most importantly, what really happened at the Engadine McDonald's in 1997.
Hang on.
Wow,
it will remain the mystery of the ages.
Oh, it's still...
Why would he refer to that?
What's wrong
with him?
He went on to say that they didn't have a drive-through back then, but they did have a follow-through. sadly for ScoMo, that's the most relatable thing he's ever done.
Well, that is one of the great mysteries.
Yeah.
Great mysteries. Now, there's another great mystery that... Well, we don't want to solve it. We can't solve it, can we? This goes into a bit of...
Yeah.
Is this Area 51?
Area 51.
We're talking about here.
We're talking about Area 51, yes.
Which is in the States, and this is where aliens allegedly landed in 1951. Mm. And the US captured the aliens, operated on them, apparently. Mm. Photos were released at some point of people operating on the aliens. Massive secret. People want to know if they're actually aliens or not.
Yeah, yeah.
And a whole stack of people, Jane, I believe, over the last few months, have been gathering around the perimeter of Area 51.
Because they want answers.
They want answers, and they're getting ready to storm it.
Yeah.
Just to go into the vaults or to just upload.
Find out the secrets.
They want to eyeball the aliens.
And my understanding is it's a classified area.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a big fence.
It's military.
In the middle of it. Is it in the desert somewhere? Where is it?
Yeah, it is in the desert. And the military have said, don't even try because we'll arrest you all if you come in.
But this is crazy.
Because they want answers to the secrets.
Well, they want to know.
Why
aliens
are
these
telling
are UFO-y us? Kind of people, right? But
I guess people who are dead keen for aliens to exist.
Well, they do exist.
Do
they?
Aliens?
Oh, are you a believer?
Absolutely.
Well, what's your evidence?
I've got no evidence, but I'm sure. I'm sure. I don't know whether living amongst us, but there would have been.
Really?
Of course there
but
would
why?
Have been.
Why haven't they come surface by
why
now?
Why haven't they come and said hello? So how rude are they?
And what do they look like? What's your idea of an alien?
I don't know. They might necessarily be human form, but it might be like a lizard or something. Like, yeah.
Oh my God! We've got UFOs
I'm
a big believer.
Hey, do we have some news for some?
Well, there is more news coming through. Yeah, apparently the Navy have issued some pictures.
Oh, really?
Oh, they were the Navy.
This sounds a bit fair dinkum.
The Navy have confirmed that there has been a UFO sighting,
an unidentified flying object.
Well, yes,
got news story. Here it is.
They're unidentified. In U.S. airspace, and military insiders say these UFOs are no joke. Now they're telling their stories in history's new docuseries, Unidentified, promises new evidence, new video, and exclusive interviews from eyewitnesses and government employees, all with the help of executive producer and former Blink-182 frontman, Tom DeLonge.
This is a mechanism to change the way the government acts. You're going to see us dealing with the Senate, us meeting with the intelligence services of other governments, and everyone is coming out of the woodwork and saying, this is real, we got to do something about it. And it very well could be a threat, but we can't put our head in the sand.
Well, okay. In my mind, why does he lose credibility because he's the lead singer in a rock band? But for some reason in my mind, that totally undermines.
That is unfair because he has got a lot of scientists on board. He set up a research sort of project to do
he's
this.
He's deep in, yeah.
But again, I'm not a believer.
You're not?
No, I'm a big cynical cow about everything, but honestly, I don't want to poo-poo his idea.
No. Well, Scott Morrison would have back in 1997.
If they've got these secrets, why would they just share them with everybody? What's the big secret? What are they hiding then?
Who knows what really went on?
That's why I don't believe the UFOs have been here, because we would know.
I agree.
Would have been identified somewhere.
We would have known. But I don't want to spoil the party or the fun for everybody, but I'm just confused as why they're all happening to do it. Is there a significant date that's happening, Dave?
Must be something coming up. It might be the anniversary.
Why do they focus all their energy in America too?
And why do all the people that are witnesses, why do they all look the same? Why are they always in a field of wheat?
So really, are you... So, hardly ever a UFO in China. They're always in America,
aren't
they?
That's the case as
well. Well, I think in a bit of homage, do we have a little bit of Blink 182?
Yeah, of course we do. This is the great Tom DeLonge.
Turn the lights on.
I'd say it is so, Tom. I'm with you.
Okay, Tom.
All right, this is Kennedy Malloy. Up next, it's Bad Parenting. Then Jim Jefferies.
This is Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy. Kennedy Malloy.
Mom! What kind of mother am I?
I'm a profiling you.
I'm afraid I'll be forced to call social services.
You know, when I was little, I used to pretend you weren't my mother.
Me too.
Time now for another entry into the Journal of Bad Parenting.
Well, yes, we've all been there. It's one of my favourite segments, 133353, if you've got any bad parenting stories to share with us. Because, you know... It's tough.
You know what? It's good to share, Jane.
It is.
And it makes you feel better about your own parenting fails when you can share.
I'll start. My kid did, you know, they have this thing where they do crop a kid where the kids shave their hair for charity.
Of course. Oh, and they're raising money for
raising
good cause.
Raising money for good cause. And of course, I'm the mean mother that goes, no, you've got beautiful blonde hair, don't shave it. And I just get the steely eyed look, Mum. This is for people with cancer. And so I look like a prize.
Yeah, of course.
Go ahead.
And he was very, he was keen to do it.
Super keen. Yeah, couldn't great. Wait. That's but awesome. This is my only blonde child, you have right. to realise.
That still grows back
it's like
blonde.
Like Rapunzel with this beautiful golden hair. He is 13, by the way. It's not a baby.
So, okay. I love that you've called your 13-year-old son Rapunzel on
yeah,
national
no, he's
radio.
Not very anyway, so I thought, if this is going to be done, it better be done properly, and I'm going to witness it. So I went to the school when it was being done today.
Oh, right. Oh, this is all making it better.
Oh, yeah. Gee, was he happy to see me.
Yeah, good.
What are you doing here? Oh, I just want to watch as what? This happens. I might film it too.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Did it come off?
Oh, my God. It came off within 1 minute 30, got Wooshka gone.
And you filmed a lot.
I did.
Have you posted it to social media?
I'm not that stupid. Right. I know that I will get in trouble later. But the look that I got of put the camera down, please, woman.
You are embarrassing me.
You're embarrassing me, yeah.
Can I get your young fella to have a chat to my young fella? Because my son's 3 and hasn't had a haircut yet.
But your son has beautiful hair. But that's an issue for your wife.
That is an issue for
my
wife.
That's not an issue for your son.
When it's wet, it goes down to his bum.
Is it that long?
Yes. It's never been cut.
Elle McPherson's children had very long hair. Her boys had long hair for a while. So maybe look up when they got it cut.
For some reason, that's no consolation to me at all.
Sorry about that.
It needs to be cut, but it's my wife's business, as right. it turns
it
out.
Is.
Is he a man bun?
He's got a double man bun these days. Because it doesn't fit under one.
Do you have any other bad parenting tales up your sleeve?
I had a mate over recently and he said goodbye and he's packing his stuff up. He goes out to the car and he put his young fella in the baby seat in the back.
Yeah.
2-year-old. Mm. All right. And then he went around to the driver's side to do something and then he came back around the other side of the car. Car door shuts behind him with the keys in the car. So the 2-year-old is locked inside the car.
But strapped in.
Strapped in.
So can't get out.
Can't get out. In the back. Can't get out to help. Can't even move.
Windows
and the
up.
Kid. And we're waving and pointing at things. Kid's happy as Larry. Hey! Waving back. Big smile. I said, mate, shall I grab a couple of beers and we can just stand here and monitor the situation? So he tried to call his partner, couldn't get her. Rings 000. Turns out 000 takes this thing very seriously.
Wow, so sirens, bang.
They were bang onto it. But in the meantime, he doesn't live far away, his partner arrived with the spare key.
Oh.
So he got into the car.
There's a lesson. Don't lose your spare key.
I was home with my young fella recently. I went out the front door to put some garbage in the bin and the back door... the screen was shut, but the back door was open, and a breeze went through and nearly slammed the front door behind me.
Oh, the old breeze. Oh,
which would have meant I would have had no key, no phone, locked out of the house, son in the house.
Yeah.
It didn't happen, but I bet it's happened to someone.
Yeah. I bet it has happened, and we got a few callers here already. Richie, I'm not sure about this one. You really want to confess this is your real name?
Yeah, it's all right. I told my missus about it the other night. She's laughing her guts out.
Okay, you might have to speak up a bit for us, Richie.
I can hardly hear you.
Hang on a second. Yeah, so what's happened is I was showering with the young bloke who's 3 years old anyway. He's playing on the ground and I'm sort of washing my hair and stuff. And then all of a sudden I turn around and he's in front of me. But as I realise he's in front of me, I was just peeing all over the little bloke.
Oh, okay.
Now, you know what, Richie? Yeah, the shower is probably the only acceptable place for that to happen.
And yet...
if that had happened anywhere else.
And yet possibly not. If the toilet's nearby, may I suggest you use that next time? Thank you, Richie. Mate. Oh, my God. Thank you. Let's go to Meg.
Hi, how are you going?
Meg, your story doesn't involve anyone peeing in the shower, does it?
Luckily, no.
Thank God. Go ahead, Meg.
When I was about 12, I went fishing with some girlfriends and I happened to cut my foot open and I got home and hobbling in on socks covered in blood and blood everywhere. And Dad says, just chuck it in the bath with some Dettol, it'll be fine. Mum goes, probably not. And 15 stitches later it was fine after that.
Oh, my God, that's shocking. Hey, we got a prize for Meg. And is your foot recovered since, Meg?
Yeah, it's all good now.
Good on you.
Price pack coming your way, Meg. Thanks.
Let's go to Lisa.
Hello.
Lisa, are you a bad parent?
Yes.
What happened?
So my son, who was 17 at the time, come home from footy training and complained he had a sore neck. And I said, just take some Panadol, have some tea and see how you go.
How bad could it be? Yep.
Broken neck.
Oh, Lisa. What?
Hey, Lisa, tell me, does Panadol fix a broken neck?
No, not quite. Oh.
And what led you to, did he just say, look, really, you got to take me to the hospital, Mum?
Yeah.
Well, his dad had a broken neck a few years earlier.
Oh, and runs in the family.
He's like, what the hell? Call an ambulance. So, yeah.
All right, he's all right now.
Yeah, he's good as gold.
That's good. No, thanks, Lisa. You know the drill, everybody. Give us your great bad parenting stories. 1-3-3-5-3.
Right
we
now.
We love to hear this. You don't feel it. Bad about it.
A drive home that's pretty loose. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Mix out today. Limo is in and we're taking your calls on bad parenting. Hey, by the way, Jim Jefferies not too far away joining us this hour, then Will Anderson in the second hour too. You're listening to Kennedy Malloy.
It's always refreshing to know that there's so many bad parents in Australia.
Just makes you feel so much better about yourself.
It does. It gives you a warm, fuzzy feeling. Yeah. And Alan, you're a great example.
a shining example.
You are. And have you recovered from this... What you've done, Alan?
I have. My daughter almost has. She's 23 years older now, so she's good.
Okay. Paint the picture for us, Alan.
I'm in a nice little restaurant over in Bali with her. She's about three. She's insisting on a shoulder ride. Huge, big, high pagoda roofs. I thought, yeah, no harm in that. Picked her up onto my shoulders, and they had about a 12-foot-long extension on the fan blade, which just brought it down to scalp height.
Oh, my God.
And it's in the back of the head, four stitches.
Alan.
Sweat, blood, running down the street in bare feet.
Alan.
Mud everywhere.
Did it knock her off your shoulders, Alan?
No. It just cracked her in the back of the head. And
a quick visit to the Bali hospital there.
Right.
Yeah.
And Alan
ran to the hotel and blood everywhere.
How did that go down with her mother, Alan?
Mum was standing right beside me and went, oh, my God, what's that?
Oh, my God. You never live it down?
Haven't to this day.
Thank you for sharing that. We better give you a prize,
Alan.
Yeah,
you're going to go see James Rain celebrating 40 years of Boys Light Up 2020.
Awesome. Thank you, Alan.
Good on you, Alan.
That's the type of thing that would come up in every fight ever have. Well, at least I didn't stick our daughter's head in the
correct.
Fan.
And every family gathering, I'm sure. Jeez. G'day, Luke. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Yeah. Now, did this happen to you from your bad parent?
No. I'm a building manager, so I work in high-rise buildings. And I got a call from a lady who locked herself on a balcony on the, I think it was the third story floor.
Yeah.
So long story short, we had to call, fire and rescue. Heavy rescue turned up and we had to, break down their door to get into the room so she could get back in because her, it was a two-year-old who was on the inside.
Was on the inside and couldn't help mummy get from the balcony inside. Now, how did the mum happen to have a phone with her, did she?
Yeah, she happened to have a phone with her, but she was also yelling down to the people on the street.
I'll bet she was.
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty dramatic, Luke. Thank you for that. Let's go to Alan. Hey, Alan, how you doing?
Yeah, good. How are you?
Alan, I'm surprised that you're still stable and with us. What on earth did your bad parent of a mother do when you were a kid?
She used to make me take a teaspoon of sugar with 3 or 4 drops of kerosene for a sore throat.
What?
Hey, Alan, let's firstly go to your mum's defence here. Did it work?
It used to make me so sick I forgot all the
What sort of crazy witchcraft did your mother practice? Where are you from, Alan? Where were you growing up?
From Orange in New South Wales.
What madness is going on in Orange?
Right. You wouldn't want to...
I used to be really bad at taking cough medicine, so she used to get me on the ground.
And hold you down.
I swallowed it, one or the other.
Kerosene will fix that.
Yeah. That's hilarious.
Do you ever light up a cigarette, Alan, after you swallow the kerosene?
Put off that for life.
We'll shoot you out a prize to Orange, I reckon.
I think we better send a prize to Orange. Let's go to Matt just quickly. We'll finish up. Hey, Matt.
Hey, Nicky, Lima, how are you guys?
Yeah, very well, Matt. What happened to you?
I don't know. I can't top a kerosene or a teaspoon of sugar, but that's pretty borderline crazy. I got locked out, bundling the kids into the car to go to childcare in the morning. Keys inside, phone inside the house, send the 2.5-year-old through the doggy door.
Well, now, if the doggy door's not for a child to go through and help you out, what's it there for?
So I'm like, all right, now unlock the door. And he's like, okay, go get the treat. Comes back. I'm like, no, open the door. Okay. Comes back. I'm like, mate, it went on for about 5-10 minutes. And, eventually got the kids to school.
Then did you give him a schmacko and say, good boy?
He got himself a schmacko.
Good on you, Matt.
Good on you, Matt. Appreciate the calls. Bad parenting. Hey, guys, up next, we're across to LA, the great Jim Jefferies.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
Our next guest, comedian Jim Jefferies, was born in Australia but now calls LA home. He performs shows to packed houses in the States, hosts The Jim Jefferies Show on Comedy Central, has Netflix specials, but sadly still has to attend school teacher interviews.
They bring me into the school about a month ago, me and his mum, and they go, "Oh, we got a problem with Hanky, he can't read." And I went, $40,000 a year, that sounds like a you problem, not a me problem.
Live from LA, please welcome back Jim Jefferies.
Jim.
Hello, mate.
Great to chat with you, and may introduce you, of course, to the great Limo.
I know Limo. We used to work together in Britain, mate.
Yeah, we go way back, many, many eons ago.
Excellent to hear. Who did you think you were going to be chatting with today?
Layman. My assistant said, Mick's not in. They've got a guy called Layman.
one of the people.
Which is just slightly better than Limo. If he'd come out and said Limo, it would have been a problem.
My American assistant thinks that's an Australian name.
Oh, really?
Layman's here.
Layman. How's your kid doing? Well, I always love hearing your stories. And Limo's got a kid too.
He's doing all right. He just learned how to ride a bike.
Oh, well, that's tough. That's really hard teaching kids to ride bikes.
Yeah, but also the problem with it now is the kids don't ride bikes anymore.
You're right. There's nowhere to ride them.
Yeah, nowhere to ride them. Yeah, you've never walked out and see a whole lot of kids going by like out of an E.T. movie. They don't do it anymore. So they learn to ride them and then go, oh, I'm glad I've got that skill, and then they never touch the bike again.
Because these days you're not allowed to let a kid go out of your field of vision. And that's what tends to happen if a kid's on a bike.
Oh, yeah. My parents used to send me down the road when I was five just to walk down to my mate's house. I think they wanted me to be killed or something like that.
The road rules that we used to have, honestly.
Jim, when we were kids, though, you had to be missing for 4 or 5 days before your parents alerted anyone.
remember the old system they had in Australia and safety houses?
Oh, good idea.
Yeah, and they used to put them on top of it. It turned out all the sexual predators got the things and put them on top of their mailboxes. What a good system, Australia. Well done.
We can be proud.
That's working a treat. Jim, I saw you back in Australia here a couple of years ago now, and you had a great bit about thinking your young fella was super smart until you went to an open day at your kinder and you bumped into a genius kid who was explaining the difference between a tortoise and a turtle.
Well, they say now my little fella might have dyslexia or something like that. They go, but he's really smart. And I'm like, okay, but he's got dyslexia. No, but he's still very smart. And I go, but they call it a learning difficulty.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like this, well, doesn't that mean stupid? If you have difficulty learning, isn't that what...
You're not allowed to say that.
If you're finding it hard to get... In America, it's very hard to get information going in your head. Now they're trying to teach him how to read music at the school. And I'm like, can we just start with words? Then we'll move on to music.
It honestly is so full on NPC, the world of school and everything too. You wait till the homework starts coming home, Jim, and the outsourcing that's done to you, this is when you'll want to be handballing it back. This nearly killed me.
If I've watched enough American films, I assume I'm going to have to make a volcano. Every single American
film. Well, you mean like the Brady kids?
Yeah.
We had an issue recently at our kinder where some parents had taken their own food into the kinder. And the drama around it, you would have thought there'd been an anthrax drop in the joint.
Oh, because it hadn't got passed by all the...
No, you can't. No one's allowed to take food into the kinder. It has to be all supplied within the kinder, so it's all safe.
You're not allowed to take peanuts to my kid's school because there's one kid who's got a peanut allergy.
Yeah.
But it's like, that's that kid's problem. You know what I mean? Like, the kids aren't going to throw peanuts at the kid. You know what I mean? Like, you can have a Snickers bar at school. It's like, have you been on a plane lately when they go, no one's having peanuts on this flight because there's someone with a severe peanut allergy? Well, that's their problem. That plane has been flying all day back and forth. It's not like between the flights they de-peanut the thing, right?
We're going to go to a quick song. When we come back, I want to talk about a segment on your great show that's right now. You can watch it, everybody, on Fox. Foxtel, I did. It's brilliant. And you've got a great segment called Unpopular Opinion.
Yeah.
The peanuts is probably right up there too. We'll be right back.
All right, Jim Jefferies is with us and you're listening to Kennedy Malloy.
A drive home that's always surprising. This is Kennedy Malloy.
We've got Jim Jefferies with us, live from LA. By the way, the Jim Jefferies Show you can check out on Comedy Channel, Express from the US, Wednesday nights.
A lot of interesting topics you brought up the other night. The fat shaming one was really interesting to me as well, between, you know, James Corden and Bill Maher. I like the fact that you said you were able to comment because you sort of squeezed in between the two of them.
I'm the exact size between the two folks,
And a segment that you had called Unpopular Opinion, where the studio audience votes on unpopular opinions submitted by your own team.
Yeah.
Now, I thought these were interesting, and I agreed wholeheartedly with the results. Can I just read some of them out?
Sure.
It's not that sad when an old person dies. 62% agreed.
Yeah.
And only 38% disagreed.
Someone over 80, like we're talking really old, it's not that sad. It's kind of good, right? You had a good run. There's nothing wrong with that.
It's
you
true.
You can't cry about that.
Good. But if you add on and you don't know them.
Correct.
Well, then,
oh, yeah.
I'll tell you what, my old man has never been more excited. He's in his 80s. And he's like the last man standing. He's, you know, the Skyhook song, all my friends are getting, all his friends are getting buried. But it's a big social occasion for these people. They get the food after, a few drinks. It's a really good time.
It's a great catch-up. One less person to cater for.
That's right. Yeah. Okay, the other one I like to read out was, I don't care about Notre Dame burning down. 67% agree again.
Yeah.
33% disagree. Now, you've had a bit of feedback from this.
I've had a lot of hate mail. It turns out that some people do care about Notre Dame burning down. I didn't care when I thought it was the university burning down, let alone the
Notre
church.
Notre Dame.
Yeah. The Fighting Irish or whatever. I only know that from the movie Rudy. I don't know much more than that.
I changed my tune on this because I did care about Notre Dame.
Yeah.
And then I heard that the G7 summit raised, I think between all those countries, raised $27 million to help fight the bushfires in the Amazon, yet we somehow raised $1 billion.
$1 billion?
Is that what it's up to now for Notre Dame?
Yes, Notre Dame!
You're joking.
They're trying to raise $1 billion to fix Notre Dame. I'm like,
holy hell.
Australian or American money?
Well, either way, it sounds like a shitload.
It's still a lot of money. It's still a lot of money.
Even if it's New Zealand dollars, that's a lot of money.
Did you grow up Catholic, Jim? I grew up through the Catholic system.
Church of England.
And I had girlfriends bawling their eyes out.
Really?
I had a girlfriend who was there and sending us photos. It was interesting to see anything on fire is visually interesting. Ask news departments. But they, you know, there was tears and people were, you know, very upset. But again, I'm a bit over the whole church as iconic today.
They take up prime real estate. You could have some lovely apartments there. Something useful.
Or a nice park perhaps for our kids.
Yeah, a nice park, a nice memorial for the church.
Or for all the people perhaps who've been affected by the church.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
One other story that I love too that you ended the show on, and it was a bit of a superhero, an unlikely one. It was a chap from Melbourne, Victoria.
Yes. I'm very proud of, I showed him to America, the bloke who stopped the robbery in the 7-Eleven.
Now, there's so many great things about this.
He looks like a bit of a tweaker. I don't want to say that as a fact, but he might be.
He looks like a fellow that has had a bit of a life, a bit of a story to tell. Mm-hmm. But he was a great mate of the 7-Eleven couple who ran it, and they're an Asian couple ran, and they were so appreciative of his work. Let's just have a listen.
When Nick Zeglinas went into his local 7-Eleven store for his daily coffee, he walked straight into an unfolding armed robbery.
Now they're standing here with a gun. Down, everybody down, you down.
A woman in a motorbike helmet was allegedly waving a gun and demanding money. Nick says he made a split-second decision.
Land! Aha! Go for glory, you know? Like a try.
With the accused pressed against the counter, 7-Eleven franchisee Ricky Yan called police.
When I saw the gun, I was just being scared, very scared.
He'd been about to hand over hundreds of dollars before Nick's unexpected tackle.
I did my MMA around the head. And that's it, hang on.
Look, it visually, when you see him fall on the floor on his back with legs in the air.
I like that he actually tried to steal a gun from someone's hand over hundreds of dollars. Even the news reporter was like, he could have gotten away with hundreds of dollars.
It's very Australian though, isn't it? Hey, Jim, thank you again for joining us. We want to direct everybody to watch your show. Everybody, probably sign up to Foxtel if you haven't got it. You've got to check out this show. It's bloody hilarious. We love having Jim. We're super proud of you. And thanks for being on our show again. Next time, if Mick can stop spewing his guts out, we'll bring Mick on.
Otherwise, Layman will be back.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
All right, the new season of The Jim Jefferies Show is on the Comedy Channel Express from the US Wednesday nights. This is Kennedy Malloy.
This is Kennedy Malloy. Yourself in, people. Here comes the big second hour of Kennedy Malloy.
Indeed, you're right. The big second hour. We are Malloy-less. But we have Limo on board here today. Thank you so much, Limo.
Thank you, Jane. It's
great been a to have you here. And the big second hour coming up, and we have got one of our favourite Thursday segments, Gone Wild, where animals go rogue. And well, humans go rogue with animals. It's a bit of both. And a bit of Crime Watch news, haven't we?
Oh, there is a spectacular story to kick off Crime Watch today. You do not want to miss it.
That's true. You don't want to miss it. And one that involves a toilet, a golden toilet that we're following up. There's been some more information on that news. I didn't have it in my house, as people have suggested.
The jury's still out on whether or not it's at Malloy's house.
The jury isn't out. But right now it's time for This Bloke.
The last time Will Anderson joined us, he'd recently dealt with a tradie not showing up.
Now at 2 o'clock, you don't know, is he just late?
Or have they forgotten?
So I've rung what I thought was his number, but it was obviously some guy in the office. Yes. There's about halfway through where you know they have not even sent this guy. This has not even been booked in. And the relief when I didn't make a fuss, he goes, all right, I'll see you at 12 tomorrow. I love you.
So are you going to see him again? What are your intentions?
From the podcasts Willosophy and Topop, ABC's Bruin Radio and a stage near you, we welcome back Will Anderson. Yay!
And he has not called.
Did he ever come back to me? No.
Yeah, no, he did come, but he hasn't. Nothing since.
Was
no
it embarrassing?
Flowers,
was
no flowers, no chocolates?
No follow up.
Do you think he knew that he said. Oh, no, it was the other bloke that said, love you.
I love you. I love you.
That's so sweet. Now, this is a very interesting turn of events to have both you fellows here.
They said it would never happen. Yeah. In fact, I think the words they said to us as they kicked us out of the building was, this will never happen again.
We're going back in Triple M folklore.
Will and Limo.
Will and Limo.
Back
what
in Drive on Triple M, what years, Limo?
2007, 2008.
The glory years. They were indeed. Up against a couple of guys called Hamish and Andy. I don't know what they got up to.
Where did they ever go? Yeah. And I'm suggesting somewhere. The same playlist that we're playing right now.
A fair few similarities, Jane.
Will and Limo are back. The music never went away.
Fellas, can you remember some of the topics du jour?
Well, can I run you through this, Jane? Maybe you can give us some insight into why it was that Hamish and Andy dominated the airways and Will and Limo did not get the traction that we were looking for.
We just turned up one day, our security passes wouldn't work anymore.
You know what the nice thing was? It was one of those real slow deaths where the boss just stops looking you in the eye. So, and his desk was right near my desk. So, like, he would have to go out of his way
to avoid you?
To not look me in the eye. And, of course, I knew this was happening. So, the more that he was trying to do that, the more that I would put me in his direct line of sight, so that he would just have to be looking at something really unusual on the roof.
Well, tell me what the format of the show was. Two fellas chewing the fat on an afternoon.
Just a couple of mates hanging out with a few microphones in the studio.
But there's nothing wrong.
No, it's nothing, but it turns out that hole was already filled.
Oh, really? Well, see, Hamish and Andy did a lot of big stunts, and did you go on a tall ship or anything like that? That would have been handy.
Okay, so, I'll run some things by you. Obviously, you need big guests. You need big guests for your show.
Sure.
So the biggest guest that I can remember, she was the star of the Sydney 2000 Olympic Games, and I'm talking, of course, of Nikki Webster.
We had Nikki Webster
on the show.
Okay.
Was that Zoo Magazine Nikki Webster?
How did we get Nikki Webster on the show again, Limo?
She was
trying to ring Hamish and Andy.
That's right. She accidentally called us.
Hamish and Andy were talking about her, and she called the wrong number and got put through to us, and we thought, great, let's interview her.
So you had to talk about Strawberry Kisses, which is one of her great hits.
So we were happy.
One of the biggest interviews we ever had was an accident.
Well, how about this? We did a few stunts as well. Like you said, Hamish and Andy, I mean, yes, they had you two on stage with them. They might have sailed a tall ship and done the radio show.
Caravan of Courage.
Yeah. They did those parties where they did like 30 parties in a weekend.
That's right. They stuck together.
Siamese twins. They lived as Siamese twins.
Yes.
Well, Limo and I decided one day we would discover whether using a lettuce dryer or just letting your lettuce dry naturally was the best way to dry your lettuce.
Yeah.
And we dedicated an hour of our show to drying lettuce, because Limo believed you didn't need a lettuce spinner, and I believed you did, so I brought mine in, and he dried lettuce
with a tea towel.
Dried it with my hands. I just kind of squeezed it dry.
Now, Jane, I know you think this is underthought as like a segment, but particularly not an entire hour.
We had judges.
Any MasterChef judges?
No, we had a supermodel. We thought, who knows lettuce better than a supermodel?
Well, that's very clever.
Yes. Right? And a rabbit.
And we had a rabbit.
And then we dried our lettuce, and we got the supermodel and the rabbit to
I'm not joking. I would have been glued to my radio listening to that. You're talking to the right person.
And Jane, can I tell you one of the highlights of our 2 years together is in the that went over a few segments. Mm. We came back from an ad break, after which I said, this is Will and Lemo. If you've just joined us, we're drying lettuce.
That's a hook.
And
that's
not a euphemism.
A sizzle, right?
But what worked better, though? Was it the dryer?
Yeah,
or
now
the,
I'm fascinated.
The lettuce spinner.
Yeah, the lettuce spinner.
Turned out it was better. Both the
supermodel. Got you, Dave.
I'm in.
You would have been in.
Can you remember the name of the supermodel? Was it like a catalogue model?
She had won Australia's Next Top Model.
Yes. That was, right. Okay. So loosely she was called a supermodel. Loose term.
It turns out that Cindy Crawford won't answer your call. If you're like, hey, we're doing a little experiment about lettuce.
Stick around, Will.
Will,
I want to hear more of these crazy stories.
You got it. And this is Kennedy Malloy.
A drive home that's always surprising. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Mick Malloy, who's a bit crook this afternoon, so not joining us, so subbed in with Limo, joined by his old radio sparring
Oh, my God,
partner,
did you
Will
touch
Anderson.
You just touched the cowbell.
Can I cowbell?
That'll get back.
Oh, you'll be in big trouble.
I didn't touch it. It wasn't me.
Do you know what? I've just realised we've got Will Anderson here as well. Thanks, Will, for stopping by. I've been really pleasant about Mick today, haven't I?
You've been really
disparaging
nice.
And really nice. Any...
Supporting?
I haven't gone... Oh, a bit sick. Tummy.
You even there was a point where you expressed a bit of sympathy for him. Yeah. Mm.
What is wrong with me? Well,
you know what it is?
What?
I just think you like him more when he's not here.
Is that it? Thank you, Will, for getting me back on track. Will.
Limo and I did this job on Triple M for a brief time, but a fun time. Yes. And we were talking about one of the segments that I remember where we dried lettuce for an hour to see what the most effective lettuce drying. It was Mythbusters, basically.
I like the idea. And you said that the judges you brought in to find out which is the best method was people who are experts in lettuce, which is a rabbit and a supermodel.
Correct.
Now, I did downgrade it to
a model.
A model. But she was from Australia's Next Top Model.
But that's all right. They do go on.
We could not remember who it was.
No, she was a regular on the show too. She was. I remember she was really fun.
Okay. Right. Well, I'll tell you who does remember it. Andrew's on the line. Hey, Andrew.
Hey, Jane.
I'm
going
to hand you over Will and Limo show.
Now, Andrew, can you remember listening to that lettuce drying segment?
Yeah, I can. And I remember Jordan turning around and saying, oh, you know, that thing works better, but it's a bit wanky.
Andrew not only remembers it, he can quote it. And he stayed listening to Triple M after that segment.
Trust me, I've got the freakiest memory. My wife hates it. Like, she'll tell me something on the way home, like, go to the shops. I'll go, yeah, okay, no worries. And anyway, I'll drive straight past the shops, but yet I can tell her something that happened 10 years ago.
Now, okay, so Andrew, the supermodel was Jordan Lucas.
Jordan Lucas,
and she was from one of the series of Australia's Next Top Model.
Yes. She came second, I think.
You are, Andrew, you are a freak. You don't need a shopping list, do you? You just remember everything.
I wouldn't go that far, Jane. Right, I'm not that good.
Okay. Don't talk yourself down, Andrew.
I'm still male.
Oh, that's okay. Yeah, well, yeah. Thank God. Don't frighten me.
Can only do so much.
Have we got a prize for Andrew for remembering that?
Yeah, prize pack coming
your
way. Bunch of great merch. Well done.
Can I run one more thing we did?
Go ahead.
When we got sacked in a very nice way. They gave us plenty of notice. It wasn't one of those classic radio,
there's a as security, of today.
Yeah, there's a security person and they walk you to the door. Yeah. No, it was very dignified. They gave us 6 weeks, I think.
And they actually said to us, you can leave now if you want, or you can finish the year doing the show. And we said, well, we'll finish.
And we had the best, those 6 weeks were the best time I've ever had on radio because it was just so creative. Yeah. We had no stakes. We could do what.
But isn't that not a great lesson to be had by any employer who thinks it's so vital to cut people off at the knees and just go, oh, we've got to get this, them out now because they might say something terrible.
Well, they were some of the best shows we ever did. However, there was an article in, I think, one of the TV guides, radio guide, and it said, it mentioned that we'd been sacked, but it said they'd left us on air. And the problem was that sometimes when shows had been sacked but were still on air, they started to phone it in. And I love that expression so much. The next day, Limo and I phoned in the show.
What do you mean?
Literally. You were on Bondi Beach on the
phone. I was standing
on
Bondi Beach in about 6 inches of water on my mobile phone for the whole 2 hours.
And I was in Brisbane just walking through the city.
But see, you're inspired by, you were fighting back against the predictability that people expected. Yeah.
But we made our guests go into the studio.
And Sam Mack was our anchor.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So Sam Mack was in the studio welcoming guests in.
Old Logie nominee Sam
Mack. Sam Mack was here yesterday.
He used to play the traffic from 3 days ago every day. Yeah, Gold Logie nominee now.
Yeah, there we go.
I don't trust the weather he gives on the weather. Yeah. Oh, it's probably yesterday's weather.
Look, people have referred to Kerry Ann as a cockroach, but honestly, I mean, we're all still doing this. I've been doing this for 30 years. You can't get rid of anyone. And everybody's still got a gig. Now, I'm going to go into a new generation, a new way of thinking, because tomorrow is a very special event happening globally. And it is a climate change walk, if you like.
The climate strike.
The climate strike.
And I just read, Jane, that 2,000 companies across Australia are giving staff time off to march tomorrow.
Well, okay, so this they have had school kids, just sort of one for kids, but this is for everybody to participate in.
Yeah.
Right around the country. And Greta,
Thunberg.
Greta Thunberg, who has now become, you know those crop circles? Someone did a crop circle of her face.
Really?
Yes.
Like, you know you've made it.
You know you've made it.
The only person who hates Greta Thunberg is Malala.
Because
Malala used to be the king of the...
She was king of the most beloved teenagers
Malala's like, I got shot by the Taliban.
Oh my God.
That she has sailed to America, but I got shot by the Taliban on a bus because I wanted to read.
That's hilarious.
Screw you, Greta!
Did she have a special private meeting with Obama like Greta has?
Malala's like, I wanted to meet Obama!
That's so funny.
Greta met Obama, and I think, do we have the meeting between the two?
Okay.
Thank you so much for stopping by to say hello.
Thank you for having me here.
Of course. Well, you're changing the world, so we're very excited to have you. How have you found so far the Friday strikes? How'd they go in New York and how they go in Washington?
All these young people seem so eager, very enthusiastic.
You and me were a team, huh?
Yes.
Do you believe in fist bumps?
Yes.
You can do the boom.
Okay.
Did you hear the tapping on the window? That was Malala outside.
I don't know if I'm more concerned about Obama putting on a slight Swedish accent. Did you hear that?
We are a team.
Did a little bit of ABBA, just so that we're on the same page.
Yeah, but Trump would have talked like the Swedish chef from the Muppets. Well, he would have been, "Rooty birdie and a birdie birdie." Is she understanding me? Rooty birdie, birdie, birdie.
Now,
can I say about this climate strike quickly? Is the thing that everyone always says about it, is they're like, oh, well, the kids are missing an important day of school. No. You know, how are they going to grow up when they miss an important day of school? All I would like to say is that's not how school works. If it's very important, they don't teach it just on one day. There is no one in the world who's like, I missed the Thursday, I can't add up. That's not how it works.
Well, so we'll expect, I mean, all the news, they'll cover it on the news and everything. Sky News will have a very different view, and they'll be the ones poo-pooing schools who will let kids do something and go and walk.
Yeah,
And Scott Morrison will do the poo-pooing of his own.
Oh, boy.
Are you up with this, Will? That last night, Scott Morrison decided to refer to the incident in the McDonald's.
The Engadine Maccas.
The Engadine Maccas. Now, what do you think? We suspect, I won't pull you in on this, Limo, but I suspect he'd had a few beers.
Yeah.
And got a little bit happy with himself.
Or at the night in
He definitely had a few that night.
Could be both. And he decided to, tell all at probably the most idiotic night to tell full of journos and other politicians.
Yeah, he's done this thing, basically, like, you know, reference the idea of him crapping his dacks at the end of Engadine Maccas.
Yes.
And you know the person I feel sorry for in that situation?
Who?
Bill Shorten, who's like, I could not beat him.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Thank you, Will. We look forward to the new season of Gruen.
Wednesday night,
8:30. Will Anderson joining us with Limo and Jane Kennedy Malloy.
Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy, two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Mick and Jane, Gone Wild.
Gone Wild time on Kennedy Malloy.
A Limo and Jane Gone Wild today.
Yes. Indeed.
Limo.
This is one of my favourite times of the week.
It is. It's one of ours as well. Now, we were talking about the midwinter ball at Parliament House.
Yeah.
All the fancy frocks and carries on that was going there. I've been to that beautiful room where they have the ball and everything, and there's been something that's been disturbing the peace.
Right, in that room?
Yes, in that room. Right. And they haven't been happy about it. It's quite unusual. It's droppings of a sort have scattered.
Well, you can't put up with that.
Well, you can't.
That problem needs to be dealt with.
It needs to be dealt with. It's a very interesting story coming out of Canberra. Can we just have a listen, Dave?
Meet Floyd, the peregrine falcon, and her mate, Watt, the barking owl. Their mission? Evicting some rogue residents from Capitol Hill's well-curated grounds.
We've had a problem for a number of years with ducks in particular. They come into our lovely forecourt here and they leave a lot of droppings.
Parliament's gardeners have tried other techniques, but they believe these tactics are finally getting rid of the winged squatters.
In February, we would have had easy over 40 ducks out here each night, and now we're getting a lot less. We're down sort of around 10 and below.
Okay, oh. So do you know what they're doing to get rid of these ducks?
What are Floyd the Falcon and what the owl doing?
Well, I'm slightly disturbed. When they say that there's less and less ducks going there, are they hunting them down and having a bit of Peking duck quietly?
I'll tell you what, a Floyd the Falcon and what the owl providing a local restaurant with a bit of duck.
Correct. Now, you've had a run-in with a duck, so I would have thought they're very innocent.
It's one of the great tricks of Mother Nature that they've led us to underestimate the duck. Never underestimate a duck. I was attacked. I told the story on this show about 12 months ago in Sydney Olympic Park. It came out of nowhere.
But, Limo, what did you do to provoke this?
I was just walking down a path and it came out of some bushes and it had major attitude.
Really?
And it really, like, it didn't accidentally bump into me. It came out looking for a fight.
Did you have breadcrumbs on you at the time?
No, I had nothing on me. I had nothing. And I tried to get out of its way. It chased me and it flew after me, hit me in the back of the head, wings flapping around my ears. Jeez. It was terrifying. Knocked the hat off my head.
It really did.
It was out of control. It was totally... The funny thing, though, about 2 minutes after it happened... My wife rang me coincidentally.
Yeah.
And I was panting. She said, "What's wrong with you?" I said, "I've just been attacked." She said, "By who?" I said, "By a duck." and her sympathy levels fell through the floor.
You didn't have a peregrine falcon handy, did you?
Next time I go for a walk around Sydney Olympic Park, I'm going to take a falcon and an owl.
Why not? Well, apparently that's doing some good there. They're fixing this one. Now, there's a story that's come out of, well, it has to be the US because it involves a big bear.
Right.
We don't have big brown bears walking around, do we? I hope you're not eating. Is he going through this? A bear was in a woods. Now, this is not the start of a joke.
Yeah.
Somebody happened to be around and filmed this bear. They might have just seen it and thought this is interesting. But they notice something hanging out the back of its wahoo.
Oh. Right.
Well, it's a poop shoot, really.
Okay.
I'm trying to be nice.
And it wasn't poop.
No, it wasn't.
Oh.
It was a 13-foot tapeworm.
Holy moly. What?
That is a lot of tapeworm.
13 feet.
Oh, my God.
Now, there's a couple of photos, and we're not going to post these. I really don't want them posted. But what the evidence shows, it hanging out the back of the bear. And then on the roadside, somehow it's eradicated itself and someone's taken another photo of it.
So, well, it's like, I think, pretty sure someone's followed the bear, retrieved it and taken it to the road. Surely the bear didn't leave it on the road. But there's one photo here. It looks like the bear's got a giant fluorescent tail.
Well, it is rather fluorescent. Now, apparently they get tapeworm because they eat a lot of raw fish and everything. But I'll tell you, did they have, like I do, a 12-year-old packet of Combantrin? Which would have done the job.
These bears have got to start looking
after
their
health. Do you know what the worst thing is? Have you ever had worms in your family? Because if one person gets them, everybody has to eat.
All got to take it.
Everybody's got to take it.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Mum's dad. Yeah.
What's for dessert, Mum?
We haven't had a worm incident in our house.
You haven't. All right. Well, you just... I did disguise them.
We used to muck up as kids, and Mum goes, "Oh, he's got worms." That was always just a common thing.
Because you get irritable.
Is that right?
Yeah, you get a bit itchy.
All right. I remember Mum saying that if I ate a lot, she'd say, "Have you got worms?"
You're joking. God. All these old wives' tales.
Got worms, have you?
Yeah, soon found out.
I haven't got a 13-foot one dragging out of my rear end.
All right, well, we'll get to this.
This is all yours. I'm giving you a bit of room here, Jane, to read through the detail on this.
Well, it's quite serious because it involved a fire, an overnight fire, which did destroy 100 valuable cryogenic cylinders.
Right.
Oh.
Well, it contained cattle semen. Now, I would say 100 cylinders is a lot.
Yeah.
And it's not an easy task, I'm sure.
No.
How do you extract all that? But you know what I mean? As in, that is not something that is an easy...
Do I really have to tell you?
No, but I think it's quite an
involved... It'd be quite the process, you'd think, wouldn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot of hard work.
There is a lot of hard work.
Shall we go to the news story?
Someone's worked a few hours to fill those 100 cylinders.
That's quite serious. You better have a listen.
A smouldering ruin. This is all that remains of Yarram Herd Services, a facility that provides artificial insemination to over 200 cattle farms in Gippsland.
I just heard big bang sounds like somebody was bashing down a door or walls or something.
40 firefighters fought to bring the blaze under control while material at the factory blasted towards them.
There were projectiles coming from within the building.
The loss of biological stock may have posed a major blow for the region.
Oh, there we go. Nice
major blow.
Nice work.
All right.
I mean, if someone had told me there's a story involving 40 firefighters and 100 cylinders of semen, I would have pictured something very different.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
This is Kennedy Malloy, and it's time for...
I need to report a crime.
Kennedy Malloy's crime report.
A limo in for Mick and Jane Kennedy.
There's a few interesting things in this first story I want to talk about. Whenever I see and hear the word Amish, I'm fascinated. Yeah. As a culture... That they survived today is so interesting to me.
It is interesting. And with all due respect to the Amish, I have no doubt they're wonderful people.
I'm sure they are.
But they seem to be able to bring the humour in a special way.
They do. They do. And this is why it's interesting, because they're, when you think of Amish people, you think very good, upstanding citizens.
And very wholesome.
Very wholesome. Mm. Well, two Amish men drinking alcoholic beverages while operating a horse and buggy, carrying a 12-pack of beer, and outfitted with a giant stereo system, have run from the law and are in a little bit of trouble.
There's a few things there that aren't particularly Amish.
Well, I was asking you off air. I was saying, now... That's not Amish. Are known for drinking, are they?
Yeah, no, the drinking thing's not particularly Amish.
The
12-pack of Michelob's not particularly Amish. The giant stereo system and the running from the law.
Wow,
all not very Amish things to do.
Wow,
right there. And they say they were drinking and driving their horse and buggy, but surely the responsibility here is more on the horse to be sober. Yeah. Wouldn't you think?
You're right.
To refuse the ride.
Well, and the horse is the one really in control of the vehicle, so I'd be breath testing the horse.
Well, I think that's pretty tough though. If it's a horse and buggy, how fast can it go? Not many people on the road.
Seriously, how much damage are you going to do?
Seriously, that is very amusing.
We ran into a pedestrian.
Yeah, correct.
Who got up and walked away.
On the way to build a barn. I have to put the barn in. Sorry, that is a bit cliche, isn't it?
You can't tell an Amish story without building a barn at the end of it, Jane.
You cannot.
They're building a barn-related prison.
Correct. All right, now, we talked about this the other day, Limo. Mm. There was a great theft that happened from, the birthplace of Winston Churchill, which I found fascinating, Blenheim Palace.
Oh, yeah.
It was an art installation, in fact, and was a golden toilet.
Oh, I heard it. The golden toilet was stolen.
It was stolen. Yeah. And the toilet itself has yet to be recovered, but a 36-year-old man has been arrested.
Right.
As he's 36, it's not Mick Malloy. He's much older than that.
I was going to say, hang on, Mick Malloy's not in today.
No, he's not.
Is anyone joining
And he
the
has
dots?
Been to Blenheim Palace, he tells me,
hello.
And seen all sorts of goings on there.
Has he used this toilet?
I don't believe he has, but what is incredible is what they're suggesting. It's real gold and it can be melted down and it could be worth $4 million US.
That's nuts.
Dollars.
Right. Have people used this toilet?
Well, I believe so. It's a bit like in Tassie at Minup, where they got the poo installation.
Oh, right, yeah.
And it was an operational, significant art installation that I think people said, well, yes, you are able to use.
So that's not being disrespectful to the installation if you sit down and...
I don't believe so.
Just knock out a number two.
I am fascinated that somebody would spend that kind of money and using real dough. There's one crime. Now, this one also interests me.
Yes.
A man in the UK says of a seriously flawed legal system, he got a $180 speeding fine.
Yep.
He spent $55,000 fighting it.
Seriously.
Because it's the principle of the matter. Now, when do you stop this and how far will you go to fight an unfair charge?
When do you stop? When you can buy a new car with the money you're spending on your defence.
That's true.
$55,000. He could leave his car in that spot. I mean...
That is frustrating.
I'm going to have to rush the maths, but he could leave his car there for roughly 6 months.
He could, but have you ever yourself... I mean, I copped a fine and it was... You know, there was a series of faulty lights...
Like speed camera, and people were
like 20,000 people got fined.
Yeah.
If you didn't watch A Current Affair, you wouldn't know about it. But I was sitting watching and I went, oh my God, I got
to get off.
I got off because, but I think if people didn't find it, you wouldn't get off.
I often write a letter for a parking ticket.
Mm. Yes, it's worth it.
And you get off every time.
Yeah. Oh. I did.
Because it's too. You just say the machine was broken or it wasn't working.
Oh, it must be the nice way you write.
And they,
I don't always.
Dear Sir Madam. Works every time.
It does every time. But yeah, no, this guy said, and there could be more amounts of money that he's going to spend. He says, I regret the amount of money. I very simply want justice.
I'll tell you one thing. This bloke clearly isn't married.
Oh, yeah.
There's no way he'd be spending $55,000 on a legal
defense. Correct. That's a hidden one coming up.
All right, that's Crime Watch, and this is Kennedy Malloy.
a drive home that's pretty loose. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Limo's here as well, and we're here thanks to Makita. And you go to makita.com.au to find your authorised dealer.
Now, Limo, you look like a man who... has worked the soil.
Yeah, looks can be deceiving, Jane.
They can be.
I was born from the soil.
A country lad.
I am indeed. I grew up on a farm in country South Australia.
My God. Now, would you have had Makita products in your farm?
Without a doubt. I never would have touched them. But, but my dad and my three brothers,
yes,
and my sister for that matter, and my mum, absolutely, 100%.
Well, you'd be mad. Who would not use Makita products?
And at our house, it's my wife who loves the Makita.
Hey, now I relate to that too.
Yes.
Now, is Kelly a cordless hedge trimmer kind of gal? I'm not talking for her beauty needs, but or she might be a cordless turbo blower when you're on tour.
Back off, Jane. She needs a little tidy up. But,
and the cordless lawnmower, which I cannot wait to get my hands on. As spring has sprung,
it has indeed.
And the grass
it's battery
has
powered. So no petrol, it's battery powered.
There's no cords.
Well, when you're trimming a hedge, the last thing you need.
Don't you know that?
Exactly.
The last thing you need is a cord getting in your way.
Correct. Yeah. That's
dangerous.
True. Now, we have been having a lot of fun with Makita. We're helping their campaign.
Yeah,
well,
yeah,
they don't
have
much help because they've got German and Japanese technology behind them.
Yes.
But, you know, when we think of Makita, we've thought of a few songs and people are giving us great ideas. Would you like to hear the latest Makita jingle?
Please.
All right, turn this one up.
Makita. Makita.
Oh, Glenn Fry.
Makita's on. It's on the street.
Apparently it's everywhere. And
Makita's on. 1, 2, 3, 4, on. Hey, that's what you'd be doing when you're zipping around your hedges.
Oh, Makita's on.
I'll tell you what.
At our house, Mick Malloy's slotting in seamlessly.
He did do that in tune. It's the only reason I've let it go through.
When Van Halen were recording their iconic 1984 album, I'm
what
sure
are you
they
giving
had
me,
something
Dave?
In mind
what
when they were recording
me?
It.
Makita.
Now, what do we give you, Makita? We are just laying it out there for you. You can't go past Makita. Everybody, right now, makita.com.au. They're not anywhere. You've got to find your authorised dealer. Are you up to it, people?
Go to it, makita.com.au.
Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy, two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy.
And thank you to Limo for being with us
Limo,
as well.
Limo, thank you so much. I've had a great
loved having you.
Fun time with you.
You're
and
really friendly too.
Mickey's crook. Mickey's not great, but he's been laying up in bed. I insisted he stay in bed because he's got a big show to do tonight on the front bar.
He has indeed.
He's got to get that flanny on.
Hey, there's only two front bars left, so
that's right.
Get involved.
Correct. Yeah. It's on tonight, 8:30 on Channel 7. And tonight, Santo Chilaro.
Oh, look out.
And a great Collingwood legend, Renee Kink, also a fabulous hairdresser, by
that's
the way.
That's right, yeah.
He's going to be on the show, so we'll look out for that.
The human refrigerator.
They
used to call
Renee Kink. I've got a feeling
Renee
his daughter might work in this building, Renee Kink's
You're
daughter.
You're joking.
No, I'm kidding. I'm dead serious.
I do try to say hello to
a few of the
staff.
That's right. Well, we have a kink in the building.
We've got a kink in the building.
Right here.
You've got to let me know that stuff. Now, speaking of, now we have got a huge show tomorrow. You might be here tomorrow. Who knows, Limo?
Indeed. Well, I'm on standby.
Good.
I'm available.
Because, are you ready? We've got Liam Gallagher.
Yes.
Yes, Liam Gallagher.
Wow.
Danny Minogue.
Yes.
And a man I'm very excited to see and finally see who he picks is The Bachelor, Matt Agnew.
Oh, El Dorco, as Mick calls him.
He's so rude to him.
I might be in Mick's corner on this one.
It's up to Chelsea and Abby, two girls left.
So that's happening tonight?
That's happening tonight.
Okay.
But watch the front bar.
Yeah, that's right.
And tape The Bachelor.
Yeah, that's it. That's the right order.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
Good on you, Limo. Grab the podcast of Kennedy Malloy and we'll talk to you tomorrow for a Friday.
Another Kennedy Malloy catch-up. Powered by Makita's cordless power garden range. More power and less noise with one battery across Makita's range of over 200 tools.